For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Revelation chapter 4, we'll begin here in verse number 1 just to kind of set the scene. John, we call John the Revelator, he's writing the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealing to us, God is, through John, he's revealing to us the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came, and we see in the gospel records, the Lord Jesus came, and we see what he did. He came into his own, the Bible tells us, and his own received him not. They rejected him. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But to as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And we find that what he went on to do was to die on the cross, to bleed and die in our place for all of mankind. He died for you and for me. And he hung on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth as a go-between, a mediator for our sin before a holy God. And we see in those gospel records that Jesus died there. They buried him. And on the third day, God himself rose up out of the grave, Jesus Christ, conquering death, conquering hell, conquering the grave. And he ascended back into heaven alive, 40 days later, ascended back to heaven. And we see in the gospel records there what he did. Then we come to the book of Acts and even into the epistles, and we see the church there in its early beginnings, and we see what Christ would continue to do through those apostles and through the followers of him and through the church, his believers. We see what he would continue to do. Even to this day, we see what he is continuing to do in this world. And by the way, the church is the greatest thing that's going on in the world. You may say, well, I'm here this morning and because I have to be. No, you get to be here. This is the greatest thing that's going on in the world. There's nothing better than to be in God's house on the Lord's day. It's the most consequential thing that exists is the church here on earth. It impacts eternity. We see what the Lord is continuing to do as we come through the New Testament, through the churches there. And then you come to the book of the Revelation. And God gives to the Apostle John the things which shall be hereafter, what Christ will do, what he is yet to do even in 2022, the things that he is yet to do we will see laid out in some way through the book of the Revelation. And we won't dive into all that he is going to do, but I want you to see more than that. I want you to see not just what he will do, but who he is today. In the book of the Revelation, chapter number 4, verse number 1, John said, "And after this I looked." And if you know, and as we heard preached by Pastor last Sunday in the book of the Revelation, after chapter 3, the church is no longer found on earth. The church is gone. The church has been raptured out of here at this point now that we're reading. And he said, "And I looked and beheld a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He's the only one who is worthy to sit on the throne." If you'll go over to verse number 8, just introducing, setting the scene here, he mentions the beasts that he saw, these four beasts and the 24 elders that are seated around the throne. And he says in verse number 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not," he says, "day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, He said, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That phrase in verse number 11 is where we'll pull our text from, our title, when He says these 24 elders and those beasts that are around the altar and they're throwing their crowns and bowing at the foot of the Savior, the Creator of the world, they cry out, Thou art worthy. And I would like to preach this morning, our worthy Savior, the Lord will help me, our worthy Savior. He is worthy, we see in verse number 11, and worshipped here at this point in this vision, in this revelation, in this pulling back the curtain, we see that He is worshipped as the Creator God, the Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, and He's worshipped because of who He is as the Creator. He's the Maker of all things. And how dare we worship and serve the creature more than the Creator? We worship and serve ourselves more than the one who created us. But He says He is worthy there to be worshipped because He is the Creator. We find the Lord God Almighty sitting upon the throne. And then we come into chapter 5. And John said, I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. So we come into this next chapter, we see further. The scene is set as the Lord Himself is seated upon His throne, and all around are worshiping and crying out, Holy, 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 Thou art worthy. We see, John sees that in His right hand is a scroll. If you would picture these parchments that are rolled in the hand, the right hand of the King of Glory as He sits upon the throne, and we wonder, what is in this book? What is in this scroll? What are these writings? He said they're sealed with 7 seals. 7, the number of completion, the number of perfection, completely sealed, sealed to the furthest degree, and it's sitting and held up in the right hand of God. The right hand of God, that right hand is always the hand of judgment. It is the hand that will fall in judgment, and He sits upon His throne holding these parchments, this book. And we won't get into all of those seals and what each of those seals represent. You can read on in the next chapters to see what is unfolded. But just suffice it to say, what was written in that book were the judgments of God upon Satan and upon all the rebellious men of this earth who have followed Satan and have rejected the King. And also written in that book are God's plans for how He will redeem His people, His own, back to Himself, and how He will restore His kingdom upon this earth. That's all written and sealed up in this scroll, in this book that is in the hand of the Lord God Almighty. And John sees it sealed there in the hand of God. And he sees the problem. The fact is that it is sealed. It can't be seen. It can't be read. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 5. And he said, And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Do you see this situation? The book is sealed and there is no one worthy. The question is asked by a strong angel, likely Gabriel, the archangel. As he pronounces, the Bible says he proclaims with a loud voice, Who is worthy? He's pleading. If Gabriel, the archangel, is unable to open those seals and read what is written therein, who is able? And we see all the unworthiness of all creation in verse number 3, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." You see the hopelessness here. There was no one, not even the strong angel. He's asking, who can open the book? There was no man, no one in God's creation, in heaven or in earth or under the earth, that could answer, that was able to open the seals and to look on the book. And John said in verse number 4, "And I wept much." In this vision that he's having, God on his throne in judgment, the creator of all, is wanting to reveal to John the things which shall be hereafter. And this mighty angel is proclaiming, there is no one able to open this revelation. There is no one able to reveal to us what God's plan is. He said, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And one of the elders, look at verse number 5, please, "saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." I want you to see our worthy Savior. Our worthy Savior. Heaven and earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched for one that could open and unfold God's plan for His people and His kingdom, that could undo all that was done by fallen man in the garden, by that tempter, that deceiver, that accuser of the brethren, one that could undo it all and do away with the plan of Satan and reveal and continue and fulfill the plan of God. And he said, there is one. He said, "Weep not. There is one who can turn sorrow into joy. There is one who is the Root of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And he said, "He hath prevailed. He hath prevailed to open the book." Our worthy Savior. He is worthy. You may ask for evidence of His worth, for His worthiness, His deserving of all of this glory. May I give you a handful of things today? Can I tell you about our worthy Savior? May I say He is worthy because of His person? Because of His person. If you look there at verse number 5, "The elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion." Do you see the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Do you see this one who is a direct descendant out of the tribe of Judah? I mean, this is the one who was prophesied, the one who was needed, the one who could only, and the only one who could fill this role was someone of the lineage of the tribe of Judah, of the line of David, the kingly family, royal blood in him. And we find that our Lord Jesus Christ is just that, born of a woman, conceived of the Holy Spirit, this Lion of the tribe of Judah, the daughter of Mary, the Son of God, the adopted son of Joseph, of the house and lineage of David. That's why they were in Bethlehem, the city of David, to be taxed. And this Lion now of the tribe of Judah stands ready. He has prevailed. He has conquered. He has overcome. This Lion, this kingly, royal Savior, this Savior of ours, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, He has prevailed. Look at verse number 6, please. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, And in the midst of the elders, I mean, can you get the picture here? In the midst of all of this, centered, everyone gathered around Him, He said, I beheld as it had been. He said, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. I'm speaking of our worthy Savior in His person. He is the Lion, but He is pictured as a lamb that had been slain. Yes, He is royalty. Yes, He is judged, but He is seen here as the one who had been judged, the lamb slain. All the way back from the Garden of Eden when that animal was slain and the coats were made to cover what Satan and man had conceived and had fallen, the sin and the guilt. And the shame was covered there. And here now, the judge, the Lion, the King of all kings is standing and pictured as a lamb that was slain. One who had been judged, not for His sin, not for His unrighteousness, but as a sacrificial lamb, dying in our place. I'm speaking of the person who He is, our worthy Savior. Flip a page or two in your Bible back to chapter 1, verse number 5. John is writing chapter 1, verse number 5 of Revelation. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. You see who He is here? You see His person here? He is the faithful witness. He is that one who is our advocate before the Father. He is pleading our case with what? His own blood. And He stands as a lamb slain, witnessing for us. He is the faithful witness, ever interceding. The faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. I'm speaking of the one who was resurrected, the first one resurrected by the power of God with victory over sin. And the Prince, He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and made us kings and priests unto God, His Father. To Him be glory and dominion, He says, forever and ever. Amen. I'm speaking of the worth, His worthiness, because of His person. May I say also, He is worthy because of His power. Back in chapter 5, look again at verse number 5. And behold, He says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. He hath prevailed, He says. He's overcome by force, by His power, by His authority. He has prevailed, making Himself qualified, if you read the verse, qualified to take the book. Prevailed. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. This was God's ordained one from the beginning. When God says that her seed would bruise His head. We're speaking of the prevailing one here. When Abraham took Isaac upon the mountain and God said, go sacrifice your son to me, make your son, your only son, a sacrifice for me. God was picturing there this power of the one who would prevail. And when Abraham looked at his son and Isaac said, Father, I see that there is fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb to sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. This is that lamb that would prevail and have power to prevail. As Jesus hung on that cross and He said, it is finished, and the temple veil, which was rent from top to bottom, I mean, this veil of thick hides and leathers and linen, it was all ripped from top to bottom. And Jesus, by His power, prevailed to make a way into the holy presence of God for you and I. He hath prevailed by His power to open the book. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. The elders prostrate fall. The beast, all of creation, let them fall. Hail Him who saved us by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. I'm speaking of our worthy Savior because of His power. He's worthy because of His passion. If you're looking in chapter 5, verse number 6, this lion that appears as a lamb bearing the scars of His suffering, He said in the midst of it all, in verse number 6, stood a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb as it had been slain. Speaking of His suffering, His passion. We speak of His cross. When we say of His passion, we're referring to His cross. His sufferings. What He came to do, I must be about my Father's business. But I'm telling you, He is worthy because of what He did, because of His flint look upon that cross saying, I cannot look back and I'm not fit if I look back and I must be about my Father's business. And His eyes were fixed upon the joy that was set before Him as He endured the cross. Enduring the suffering, this lamb that was slain. Look at verse number 9. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. Why is He worthy? Because Thou wast slain. And He says, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and nation. Why is He worthy? Because of His passion, His sacrifice, what He did for you, what He did for me. He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of our song. He is worthy of what the choir sang and much more. He is worthy of us being here on a Sunday morning and much more than that. He is worthy of me walking and living for Him this week and much more than that. He's worthy because, if nothing else, because of His passion, the cross, His sacrifice, what He gave for you and I as He came to this earth. He didn't suffer just once. He suffered twice. When He took on the form of a man, a servant, He suffered becoming man, becoming 100% man. He suffered. God Himself becoming a man was suffering enough. But then to humble Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He suffered to the fullest for you and I. And He conquered hell and the grave. Chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, if you look there quickly, He says, and I am He. Verse 18, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And He says, and have the keys of hell and of death. Our prevailing, powerful, conquering Savior. He's worthy because of His passion. May I say He's worthy because of His purchase. His purchase. Look again, chapter 5, please. In verse number 9, we've read it, but look at the song that is sung. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, God has made a purchase. Our Savior has redeemed, paid in full the redemption for all of mankind. He paid the price. The Scripture tells us, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He paid the full price for all of humankind, not just who are alive today, not just who were in existence the day He died, but all who ever were created from Adam till the last child born before He returns. He paid in full that price. Now it has to be received. The payment has to be accepted. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation, sure. And God so loved the world, He loved every one of us. But only those who will believe on Him does He give the power to become the sons of God. To those who believe on His name and call upon Him for forgiveness and repentance toward God for this remission of sin. And when you receive that remission of sin, you'll find in your heart that He is worthy. He is worthy because of the purchase, the price that He paid. Would you hold your place here? Go with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. His purchase. Hebrews 9, verse number 11, speaks of our worthy Savior and the price that He paid. Hebrews 9, 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of this world, if you will, this creation. Verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You understand the wording there? Eternal redemption for us. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you're one of His, you can lay hold of that promise and claim, worthy is the Lamb, because He has given me eternal redemption for my sin. It says in verse number 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. You see the payment there? Offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see His purchase? He's worthy because of His purchase. And I'll say finally, He's worthy because of His position. Because of His position. In this, I mean where He is, where He sits. If you're back in Revelation, may we read on? So they hear a new song in verse number 9, chapter 5. The first song was sung because He was worthy, because He was the Creator of all. Thou art worthy because Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure, the Creator God is worthy to be praised. But the new song that they sang was a song for the redeemed. You see, there will be a day that all of creation will worship our worthy God, the Creator. But there's reserved for those who are redeemed a song that even the angels can't sing, as the songwriter said. And that's the song of the redeemed. This new song in verse number 9. And they sang, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred. Look who's going to be there. In every tongue and people and nation. I mean, it's going to look like the world looks. We better get used to it. There's going to be people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every class of life, every human kind. There will be a representation at the throne of God singing this new song. And behold, I beheld in verse number 11 and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders and the number of them that was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. If you do the math, that's 100 million plus thousands of thousands. I don't know how big that number is, but it's bigger than I can count. Saying, verse number 12, with a loud voice. By the way, let's get used to doing that here. Let's get a little louder here. When the choir is singing, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. I mean, let's do it with them. Let's praise the Lamb. Let's get a little bit of a loud voice like we're going to do one day. With a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And we're talking about His position. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such that are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. He's worthy because of His position on the throne. He's high and lifted up. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Creator God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God created all things, and by Him all things consist. He is that God, that Creator God. He is that Redeemer, that Lion, the tribe of Judah. In His first coming, He came as a lamb, slain. In His second coming, He comes as a lion to conquer and to judge and to rule. And He will rule one day. And the Bible says there in Philippians, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. God has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Can you picture Him on His throne? Every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. That's where they look to find one to open the book. Philippians says the same thing. That every knee of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, they're going to bow to this worthy one. They're going to bow before this one upon the throne. And they're going to sing, worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy, holy. It's the King of kings forever and forever. He's worthy. He was worthy when Abraham took his son up the mountain and said, God shall provide Himself a lamb. He said, He is worthy. When Abraham left home and country and land and went to a place unknown, he said, it's because He is worthy. I think of Job when he suffered and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was saying, He is worthy. And I think on down through and the prophets and those who suffered for the Lord as they would preach, they would say, it's because He is worthy. And I think of John the Baptist in the New Testament when he cried out, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He was saying, He is worthy. So we come in through the New Testament, I think of Paul in a prison cell, ready to give his life as a martyr for preaching the gospel, saying, He is worthy. He is worthy. And those who are mentioned in Hebrews who said they had their heads cut off and were sawn asunder, and it said the world was not even worthy of them, but they were crying out with their last breath, He is worthy. And I tell you this morning that even if we as human beings, those of the redeemed, if we say nothing, the Bible says, even the rocks will cry out, He is worthy. All of creation knows He is worthy. And the book of Revelation, as this book is opened and taken from the hand of God, and Jesus opens those seals, and you can read on and you can see God's plan for redeeming and restoring His kingdom. And one day He will sit on that throne and all of creation will say, He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. The Lamb that was slain for our redemption. He'll be worthy then. Listen, He'll be worthy then. And He is certainly worthy now to be redeemed, or excuse me, to be worshipped. If He's worthy then, will He not be worthy now? Worthy of my praise? Is He not worthy of my song for Him? Is He not worthy of my service, my sacrifice to Him? Speaking of our worthy Savior, and we pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Thy Word that You've given to us. Lord, we thank You for the Word, the living Word. who is worthy. Lord, You've opened those seals. You've showed us the things which shall be hereafter. You've revealed unto us the Lord Jesus Christ by Your Word. Father, as we come to this portion of the service where we respond to what we've seen and heard, as You've been revealed to us by Your Scriptures, Lord, may we respond to that revelation. Help us to obey You because You are worthy.